Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and Analytics Post, covering finance and property news. It's another Monday evening, and of course, it's Edwin's time again. And Edwin, welcome back. What a time to be alive. It's the art of the deal, huh?
It is, Martin. You took the words right out of my mouth. It is the art of the deal, and deals are happening all over the place, from here all the way to your part of the world, and and more importantly, the US. I mean, here we've got we're told that the job numbers are skyrocketing, 500,000 or more actually, but 500,000 are all part of the NDIS. So, it's the art of the deal. And that is all smoke and mirrors, I'm guessing, And then you've got the swearing in of Trump, our time tomorrow. So their time today. So you've got UFOs and more UFOs. Then TikTok gets sold, gets bought, gets rebranded. I don't know who's buying TikTok. It's in, it's out. People were crying. Some were smiling. Others, were about to commit suicide. But now they're all back, so everything's safe. But I think more importantly, Martin, the art of the deal has to be the fact that Dusty's going to launch a meme coin herself, Trump's following suit with Trump's coin of fight. Dusty's meme coin is called, with Albo and ScoMo there on the front, take.
Well, it is pretty amazing. If you look back over the last few weeks, right, with all the uncertainty that's flying around and everything else, that we seem to be in a new world. And, the Trump coin is a good example of that, I think, insofar that, who knows, who's winning, right? So when the Trump coin was issued, there was a massive run-up. It's, of course, fallen a bit back since then, but it's still, worth quite a lot. You wonder who's making the money and who's losing the money off the back of it. But I must say, your idea of, real estate meme coin, 1-800 is Onyx or 1-300 under quota, so I love it. As you say, it's take, isn't it?
Well, it is. And that's what we're going to also explore a little bit later on as well with regards to what's happening with the hype and how it affects property. I mean, we've got a great example that with Channel 7 brought up as well over the weekend. And look, it's not new. It's not new. It's not a new way of buying from appliances to cars to homes to land. There was a bit of a hype, if you recall, about 6-7 years ago. There was a bit of a hype as well. There were some, I knew some real estate agents that were also transacting on property that the clients wanted to sell. They were accepting Bitcoin back then. But as Louis Christopher says, I stand with Louis, and that is that, we're operating in another field, another area of economics, of finance, and we don't understand it, but we can see the hype, and we've been around the block a few times. These meme coins, I believe there's Melania coins being launched as well. And I guess, next thing you know, there'll be a Baron coin and that's why Dusty wants to get in the act. I mean, our cap is going to be, we're not shooting for too much, Martin. We're only going for 5 billion or Dusty wants to go for 5 billion as a market cap. Make it rare. That's another thing, right? We can make it rare. There'll be 5 billion coins out there, but it'll be rare.
Well, of course, the idea is, the old idea of the bigger fool, fool and money soon parted, and we're seeing quite a lot of that around the place. But I just want to come back to one of the other things that you mentioned in the intro, this concept of what's going on with jobs. And, you know, it is just worth thinking about this. So, you know, there was an article saying, this is from Steve Hamilton, saying the public sector is strangling the economy to death. And fascinating that there's 500,000 workers earning income from the NDIS. That's what Shorten said when he was parting. And Tara Brooker made the point that the fact that Treasurer Chalmers was telling the public to focus on the public-private sector split in job creation. So, you know, rather than this idea of market jobs versus everybody else's jobs, and of course, a lot of the money has gone into non-market jobs, which is what a lot of analysts have been saying. But Chalmers said, no, actually, you've got the split wrong. But when you actually look carefully, if you put all of this together, what's happened is that a lot of public money for the NDIS has started in the public sector, gone across to the private sector, but it's still actually in the NDIS land. So this shows you the smoke and mirrors that are going on. And, you know, how do you define where is money well spent and where it's not well spent? But we know that there's a lot of money going to places that probably it doesn't make a lot of sense to go. So there's a really interesting story here, but Chalmers trying to redefine the no, it's not market and non-market jobs. It's public and private. And then somebody else said, well, hang on a moment, but in the private sector, you've got NDIS, which is, of course, is a government initiative. Just shows you how much the boundaries are being blurred. And I think that's an illustration more broadly of what I'm seeing, that more and more we're seeing obfuscation, we're seeing half-truths, we're seeing people being deceived and, you know, rather pushed to believe X when Y is true. And so, you know, it comes back to my fundamental question, Edwin, where is truth?
Yeah, this is where obviously we pay a lot of attention with regards to what happens as to who's buying property and where are they buying and what they are buying. And you find that there's a lot of inquiry and there's a lot of young people. Like I said, look, let's face it. I'm not going to hold back on and letting people know that there are people buying and the numbers are in terms of the open house inspections are really low relative to previous years. However, the attendees are very high. The attendances to open houses currently they are very high, and we're going to look at those numbers later on. But obviously, with regards to who's buying money and how the banks are looking at the people that are buying, well, let's face it, the people that are out there have got cash in hand and have got security of income by way of contract or by way of position with the public sector, and the people that are falling behind or in your mortgage stress scenarios and in your rental stress scenarios are the people that are not in the public sector. They're not in the public sector. They're not in the high paying executive positions, but rather that they are in the majority your second tier blue collar workers and what you would consider as factory workers or and the like. So there's a lot of pressure there, but again, when you don't increase the supply side of things and you keep on pumping the demand. That's where you've got this driving force still there operating, because at the end of the day, government policies that are at play, and have been on both sides of the fence and will continue to be on both sides of the fence moving forward. You really got to look at. Other avenues to make that second, third income in order to stay afloat, in order to have literally have a roof over your head, and more to the point, if you're looking at buying, if you're not in those sectors. So is it any wonder, Martin, that people are jumping into crypto, to meme coins, shit coins, whatever you want to call them? Is it any wonder that people are taking those sort of risks in order to make the quick incomes out of in part out of greed, in other part out of desperation. And what other options? What other options do people have? But yeah, it is very much some may consider, and this is what I said earlier on, what I put up on that on our notes. It's the art of the deal. It's how the government spins it. But we've got to take a step back and do whatever we can. At the end of the day, we can't control the global markets. You and I, as Martin North and as Edwin and Dusty, we can't control the global markets. We can't control the global economies. We can't, control, even our economy. We can have a say. We can have, make commentary. But at the end of the day, we can only control what happens in and around our own backyard, literally. Even then, there's opposition for what we can and what we can't do. So, yeah, look, that's where it is. Yes, there are voices, many voices. There are many voices, on social media. There are many voices out there in the bigger world. But a lot of it's noise. And when you wake up to it, I guess. I'm sort of reiterating what I said at the beginning of the year, as to what this year is going to be. And this is, we've got to be ruthless. We've got to be ruthless with our time. We've got to be ruthless with our health. We've got to be ruthless with what we do, moving forward, because whatever we do on a day-by-day basis is going to mean what outcomes we get tomorrow. And the old saying goes, you can't expect to be doing the same thing over and over and again, what you did yesterday to change out tomorrow. And ruthless just simply means if you want to get ahead, because I do not see that rainbow. I do not see that sunrise, for many that are trying to get into the property arena. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk, there's a lot of noise, but the indicators out there, Martin, on the ground, from what we're reading, the commentary with the real estate officers, the selling agents that we speak with, the officers, the managers that we speak with, and our greater team, converses with on a regular basis. We're not seeing it. We're just seeing that this is just going to continue, and unfortunately, this is the world that we're in and the times that we're in. Hence the reason why, again, I'll say, it's the art of the deal, because we're certain being sold a lemon.
Well, I think at the moment you could argue that everyone's waiting for Super Saturday. We'll touch on that in a second. But it is interesting if you look at the recent coverage on property in the various outlets. Remember, a lot of these outlets are linked to the property portals. So we've got, articles like this: Sydney's listings surge point to weak autumn market, which is one way of talking. And clearly, listings are rising at the moment, so that tells you something about what's going on. But it's a bit, early in the year, so we'll see. And then, of course, you've got things like the old biggest property price gains and falls of 2024. So they highlight areas of Queensland and Perth where things have gone up, and they're talking about Melbourne, Ballarat, Melbourne. Spot the common theme. And then, of course, there was this article about billions in the burbs. So there are lots of expensive places, particularly in and around Sydney, with many more suburbs now over the billion, over the $1 million and plus. And you look at the numbers there. This is basically the data from reported in the Daily Telegraph, showing that 600 Sydney suburbs with a combined value of homes are over $1 billion. So how do you go figure? But my point in all this, Edwin, is that you can make up whatever story you want to make up really at the moment, because it's pretty, pretty unclear as to how things are shaping out. A lot of people are still sitting on the sidelines waiting to see. I do think this article is quite relevant. This was actually from the story of Melbourne. Melbourne is on the track to become one of the nation's most affordable cities as property investors flee the market. But a leading buyer's advocate warns hopeful first homeowners that an investor exodus won't necessarily make it easier to secure a property. So, you can make this story up almost any way you want, which I think is why it's really important not just to sort of read the ruins in the newspapers or in the property portals, but to get a bit more information on the ground. The story, I think, is that there's a lot of uncertainty out there. There's a lot of people trying to work out what to do. And you know, when you're not sure, sometimes doing nothing is a good strategy and just waiting to see how things are playing out. And you know, you made the point in your notes across to me was that if you look at the numbers here, this is the next auctions for the 18th. New South Wales, 4,700 properties open for inspection, but 38 auctions, right? So trying to work out what's going on, it's not easy at the moment.
No, it's hard, and this is where obviously my commentary is based as to what, what the things that are happening in the Sydney, in the Sydney region, according to Domain. I do look at other markets, obviously over in the, towards the Central Coast, and also myself personally, in the mountains. And one of our guys does a little bit more down towards your old neck of the woods. But in terms of what's happening, yeah, it's very choppy. But all I can share with our viewers is the in the right now the the numbers are very low in terms of properties going to auction. These are properties that have maintained the auction campaign over the a strategy of maintaining the auction campaign over the Christmas and New Year's break, and now they're due to basically go to auction. There's only 38. Obviously, it's also the long weekend. Moving post the long weekend is the Australian long weekend. We're Australia Day long weekend. We're going to have Super Saturday, and that will start then to. We'll still see what the emotion, more than anything, what the emotional meter is going to be in relation to what the commentators are going to start spinning, whether we're going to have the Tom Panelis index telling us that the world is going to fall down, and or whether we're going to have the we're going to have the Domain article saying that properties have gone 25, 30% above the reserve, because or because of what? Because the guides were never there in the first instance. So this is all the points that where you and I have been saying that we've got to analyze and we've got to look at very, very clearly and not be persuaded by emotion. The unfortunate thing, Martin, is that it seems to be the general theme so far. The thread for the last few weeks, and that is that, and this is what I've been sharing with a number of new buyers that have come on our books, is that people are making decisions to buy more so on emotion than on than reason and logic, and that, in a way, that would be the same for from the point of view of selling. We've got a number of things that are going to definitely influence, I believe, the numbers on market. I mean, time will tell. I don't have a crystal ball, but I'm persuaded to believe that people are going to hold back, till post the election. But we'll see what happens over the next 3, 4 weeks anyway with regards to numbers coming on market. And that'll dictate the general trend, which our viewers and our followers are more up to date with than the numbers that the mainstream or the legacy media latch onto, which are they latch onto figures that are anywhere between 30 and 70 days old in arrears. But that look, it's really going to be a wait and see. But so far, based on the information that we've got, you've got the numbers are still very strong in the northwest region in terms of the open house inspections. You've got 18, 15, 13 groups attending open house inspections. In the west, you've got up to 25 groups. Obviously, one of our team members said that it's perhaps also because underquoting is very, very evident already, and I've already been posting some snapshots of what I believe are signs of I won't call it underquoting because I could get sued, but let's call it misleading and deceptive marketing practices, and agents playing shenanigans with properties that failed to achieve a sale on prior to Christmas, with a guide of 1.1 million, and now they're guiding it at 1.35. So it's going to these are all the games and the shenanigans that are going to be played out. How much of it is going to be very interesting, and how much of it is going to be captured by the authorities, and people are going to be persuaded to basically curb that practice. Is going to be determined by how real and how serious the state government feel about the shenanigans that went on in 2024.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see. I certainly, in my one-on-one conversations, have detected a bit of a change of atmosphere. And I think there are three reasons that that is in play. I think the election is a big question. You know, it's coming. We know that by May it's going to happen. And so we are starting to see the politicians throw out the smoke screens and, you know, look over here, don't look over there. You know, everybody wanted to talk up everything. And suddenly there's more money being handed out left, right, and centre for all sorts of projects, despite the fact that I can't see where the money's coming from. The second point is that the question about trajectory of interest rates is still very much in play. You know, recent data is conflicting, so the jobs data was quite strong. On the other hand, there's other information that shows the economy is still quite weak. And so will the RBA go in February or maybe, you know, one meeting later, which would be the last one before the election? Will ABO get a rate cut? Maybe. Of course, they've stacked the benches a little bit with the new structure of the RBA boards. Maybe that will have an impact. Maybe it won't. We'll see. I don't think that there's any certainty about rate cuts at the moment. And of course, the Aussie dollar where it is part of that factor. The third question, more broadly, is still the real aspiration to own property. One of the really interesting things to me, Edwin, is that despite all of the noise, despite all of the uncertainty, when you actually talk to people, there is still a strong aspiration to get and own property in Australia. And while some people, maybe younger people, have said, "Oh, I'll never do it," when you actually peel the onion and, you know, delve a little deeper, they still want it. So there is still an underlying desire to own property and hold property. And when you actually ask them why, there are two things that come out. The first is, I need somewhere to live that I actually call my own. And I think that's a very obvious and real and important imperative. You know, I own this, nobody can take it away from me. But I think the other is this still expectation that property is good investment as any, maybe better than many. And so there's a really interesting sort of conundrum when you actually start to see that property prices may not be moving up as fast as they did previously. And then you look at meme coins and other things going through the roof. So there's a really interesting question about conflating somewhere to live with investment. And sometimes my own perspective is that you need to be clear about why you're buying property. To my mind, property is about a shelter. It's about somewhere to live. It's somewhere to call your home, and somewhere to, you know, to raise a family. Sometimes I think that gets diluted with the prospect of, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money on the way. And I think that those two things don't necessarily pull in the same direction.
They don't, but unfortunately, Martin, is also there's also the fear of the from both sides of the fence that they are not going to pull back on the immigration lever, and the fact that their only solution to putting the brakes on inflation is really bringing in more people. And because what else at the moment? What else do we have moving forward when China's in a Led Zeppelin spiral with their economy, and they're going to be cutting back on buying our raw materials, and that and the WeChat chatters have been telling us already the fact that we're there are signs of it now, but we are really going to feel that pinch closer to the second half of 2025, going into 2026. So you've got all these, as you said, there is a conflict, and this is this is a place where many young people, many people haven't jumped into the ladder or jumped in and jumped out for whatever reason they jumped out and then they don't want to jump back in again because of that safety and security as well, Mark. You've got look at all the yeah. I know I pick on the Melbournians, but look at the shit show that that's turning out to be. All because of state government policies, and now the Melbournians are now encouraged to go and take self-defense classes because there's a huge exodus of personnel in the police department, and they're encouraged to what next? Go and learn how to use a samurai sword, or ten tricks on how to use your carving knife to protect yourself. I mean, the list goes on. And this is the fear that pushes people as well. And then you've so I it's a conundrum. It's a that many people are in, and it's as I said, it's not a nice place. Not a nice place to be in, and I think a lot of it, or most of, you feel a lot more for the single families, single parent families, and single income families as well. So then, when you don't have the accommodation being built, when you've got historically low construction numbers and completion numbers. And you've got a population increase. I mean, it's scary, Martin. Unfortunately, it is scary, and hence the reason why I say, people they're desperate that they'll jump into, these meme coins and cryptocurrencies that they may be miles apart from Bitcoin, and Bitcoin's the big daddy, and everything else is just a gimmick and a Ponzi scheme. Whatever you want to think, whatever you want to think about it, whatever you want to say about it, but this is why they're jumping in. But the other interesting part to that also, Martin, is the fact that those that understand and trade with crypto and these meme currencies and NFTs or whatever you want to call them, they do make a lot of money. The people that I've spoken to, even over the last week, in relation to the Trump coin and that is, what are they doing? They're not keeping the money in crypto. They are diversifying. They are going out and they are either upgrading on the upsizing, looking at upsizing on the home. They're cashing out, right? They're cashing out. They made a ton load of money, so they're going to be cashing out. And how many more of these players are going to come in that have been sitting on the fence? And I dare say that there's a large number of young people. I say young because relative to my age, that are really into this and are a lot of money that only today I was talking to an old client. I just went over to say hello. I was in the area and just popped in to say hello, and I said, "Oh, how's it going?" And I, off the cuff, because I know he likes crypto and that. I said, "Oh, so did you invest in the Trump coin?" And he smiled and says, "As a matter of fact, I did." And he's a little bit more conservative than a lot of other people, and he's made he's a highly skilled professional. But he's made 2 weeks' wages in 20 minutes, he said. So that's what a lot of people get. I mean, there's a lot of sad stories as well, right? But they that know to play the game, and they play it well, and they make a lot of money. And over the years, we have bought property for cryptanians, for people that have made a ton load of money in cryptocurrencies and bought in cash. And I just wonder how many more are going to come into the market are now coming in. They've been sitting it out for all this time, and now they're because of persuasions from other sides. They're coming in, and yeah, the underlying concern to all this is that we're really not a big market, and the appetite for a lot of these people is not apartments, and it's your freestanding homes. So there's your conundrum. There's your problem. So call it prediction number 12. The outer regions of Sydney are going to, we're going to get that backwash again, and properties are going to really climb all the way up to your Katoombas and your Lithgows, and also your northern regions, your Wines, Wyomings, all the way up to up to your Newcastle and all the way down to Wollongong, all those in between pockets. Between these central commercial hubs are going to have that increase, not because of because people are just, where else do you go to own a home? When we're not building, that's a big problem.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. Well, we know that the supply is the wrong type of property in the wrong type of places at the wrong price point. I mean, however you look at it, it's a mess. But I do find it interesting that the traditional idea of I'll save up for a 10 or 20% deposit, over 4 or 5 years, then I'll get a mortgage, and then I'll pay that mortgage off over 30 to 35 years. That's not working for so many people, so therefore, no surprise that people are going a different route. And talking of different routes, this was quite interesting, right? So, what about this idea? A couple has listed a block of their land with Bitcoin as the currency of choice. Now that got you a bit interested, Edwin, and you started laying out a few pointers. So maybe worth just exploring this a little bit further. Is it relevant? Is it significant? What do you think?
Well, I think it is relevant to what's going on now, and because of the hype that's going on now, and really, when you break it down, and I got a little bit of hot under the collar because in the heading I sort of alluded to, is it a scam? Is it a scheme, a scam, or everything in between? But look, let's break it down. Let's break it down. Let's break the deal down as I did on the post. And the deal stands as buy the property using Bitcoin, because it's a preferred currency that the vendors want to get paid by. Both parties, it's allegedly that both parties can benefit by cutting out the middleman. Yeah, you could say it's a sell by owner proposition. So whether you did it with Bitcoin, or whether you did it with fiat, or whether you did it in gold, or bananas, or apples, or carrots, whatever, it's yeah, you're not going to pay a commission. You're selling it yourself. And the third point is, the property is advertised on the property portals as a private sale. So leads up from point number two. But the questions that I wanted to expand on was, is it a good deal? On face value, is it a good deal? Do you benefit using do you benefit? Is there a benefit to the buyer by buying in Bitcoin? Has the purchaser considered the taxable implications? Has the purchaser considered the legal implications as well? And in selling in selling yourself, and in this manner, a block of land, because it's just a block of land, is it the best strategy for the vendor? I mean, I'm not going to go into too much detail. They can read the answers. Our followers can read the answers there. My answers to point number one is outlined there. Answer to point number two, to point number three, four, and this is just in a general format. But I think what's more relevant, and to get to the point, Martin, is for our followers and our viewers to tell us, whether or not they believe it's a good deal at the end of the day. Because take away crypto, take away gold, take away fiat, take away carrots, bananas, however you want to get paid for the property. What it comes back down to is it a good deal? Is it a good deal? And I'm looking at it from a buyer's point of view. In summary, Dustin, I don't believe it's a good deal. When you look at the historical purchase, these two vendors bought it as a cottage. They were going to renovate the cottage. I believe that at the time they overpaid for the property, and they didn't. These are IT and Kryptonians that maybe they're good at what they do with IT and crypto, but they're not necessarily very good with a 4B2 and a hammer. Because it you sort of stick to your lane, right? They bought they bit off more than what they could chew, and I believe you make money when you buy, not when you sell, is the old saying. So they made the wrong choice. So they're trying to get out at 500, 520,000 when they bought in at 400, because there's a in my research, there was a DA on approval for two dwellings to be put on the block. But when you then expand on that, there's something like 285 or so blocks of land for sale in that area, within that suburb. There's about 295 or thereabouts blocks for sale. And if you dig deeper, there's something like 860 something blocks of land for sale within the surrounding suburbs. So, and then when you look at the current value of the land of equivalent size, we try to compare apples with apples. You can buy a block of land they're on average for 350,000. So just because it's the notion of crypto, people think, look, each to their own. People may jump at it, but the question is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Martin, but if I've got an asset class, if I've got an investment asset, and let's say, I cash out of that and then transfer it or turn it into cash or transfer it to another asset. As soon as I cash out of that pool, I've got to pay capital gains tax, right? So so if it's a local buyer, well, you got to consider that. You got to consider the transfer. Now, the only way that I could think of it, this is my evil side of my brain, the evil Edwin. The only way you can think of it is if you just do it what I believe. The comments might blow up on this, but my understanding of Bitcoin was to do dark web transactions and buy weed over the internet. That was the initial inception of Bitcoin, and so if you want to get involved in that. But even then, I would say to any mafioso that wants to sort of throw in some black money at this property to park some black money, are you getting a good deal? Because if you bought in cash or if you bought with a loan, you could buy a block of land for $150,000 cheaper down the road. And by the way, Martin, they made a comment. They said that you can avoid the you can this is a great way. And the in that video that Channel 7 pumped out, they said there's no need for a real estate agent. And I said, yeah, there isn't a need for a selling real estate agent, as we talked about. You can sell the property yourself as well, but I can tell you what, people definitely need somebody like Dusty and myself to be on their side to buy it, because we could save them 150K off the bat. And by the way, Dusty will take crypto or Bitcoin, but I'm still the cash bean.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because that's still a physical asset at the end of the day, isn't it? Right? It's still a piece of land, which means that it has a definitive value in the real world. Never mind what the crypto equivalent value might be. So, to my mind, this is a bit more hype than anything else. It doesn't necessarily fundamentally change the game, other than, as you say, that maybe it changes the game for a potential selling agent. But I do think the tax questions are pretty relevant. But again, you've got to put a bit of a warning on it, health warning. Just be careful, be cautious. You know, make sure you ask all the right questions and don't get sucked in. And talking of getting sucked in, I just want to talk about election promises, because there are plenty of election promises flying around. You actually pulled out this load of promises, which is a list of Dutton's plans so far, like cut migration, super for housing, more law and order, Australia Day, and you know, don't use the FN flag, cut public spend services, 6 government funded nuclear power plants, tax cuts, reintroduce cashless welfare card, free lunches for small businesses, 6-year minimum mandatory sentences for terrorism acts, and a partridge in a pear tree. How are we going, Edwin, with election promises?
I was going to put that up on X, and I was going to put, hey Siri, tell me how to keep property prices without telling me. But I didn't, because I just thought, there's some things, some points there that are a little bit controversial. I couldn't stop laughing at free lunches for small businesses. I mean, they need another point under there, Martin. Free lunches for the politicians, or more lunches for the politicians. It's incredible that you can actually put that. And I saw a video of I think it was Dutton himself talking about the free lunches and also the winding back the to be able to claim back the business. Yeah, business lunches and that. I mean, seriously, that's all I can think about. That's all I can think about. Yeah, no one's talking about actually putting a pause to immigration, right? Actually pausing that. No one's talking about supporting the local construction sector, as I've been whining on for years now. Probably a whole decade and a half. With the lack of support that we've been getting for TAFE, for the apprentices and that, and even back then when I started talking about that, being public about that, I could see it coming. The writing was on the wall, and here we are. Here we are, but we're still not talking about that. We're still not talking about the support to first year, second year, third year. Make it more attractive for the young people to take the apprenticeship pathway. No, we need them to go through university so that the chancellors and vice chancellors can earn the $1.5 million salary. We need them to go through that. And guess what, Martin? After they get a university degree, then they decide to become tradespeople and work in the building industry anyway. It's crazy. They're the systematic issues that need to be dealt with, but they won't. Because it doesn't win the brownie points. Let's see, as you said earlier on, let's see what monies we can throw at this, how we can buy your vote. What is it going to entice you or an I to then hand over our vote to that side? But at the end of the day, the left and the right wing are the same vulture.
Yes. And remember, of course, that with the compulsory election system in Australia, it means that people have to vote. So, who do you vote for? Well, if both sides of politics are basically dancing the same tune and, they're throwing rocks at each other, what do you do? And, sometimes some of the smaller parties, of course, looks as though they're actually beginning to make more progress simply because the major parties are so disconnected from so many people. But I have to say that the quasi-election process at the moment, the campaigning process it's not really formal yet. Albo's going around all over the place and Dutton is throwing policies out left, right and centre now. I scratch my head thinking, well, hang on a moment. Are they really, really getting to the heart of the issues that need to be addressed? No, they're not. they're actually dancing around them. And even the call to cut migration, if you look at it carefully, it's a pedal back from where it was previously. And there's still a very strong drive from business as well as from the construction sector to bring more people into the country so they can sell more stuff to them. So it's pretty nuts. But in another real world or in a parallel world, I thought this was a more relevant observation again. Remember, we're trying to build a lot of property, and guess what we found? We found that now we've got the major Melbourne-based property developer Benson Property Group collapsed, owing creditors more than 800 million. I am really, really concerned about the quality and the ability of people to build, and the construction sector are falling over left, right, and centre. So, this is meant to be how you fast track construction in Melbourne, but doesn't seem to be quite going to plan.
No, and the scary thing about that, Martin, is that they've got 1,000 homes on the go across three states. They're 800 million in debt, and they've got a cash fund or a cash pool of $164,000. Make it make sense. I mean, is it any wonder our Bob the Builder, our insider in HIA, is we were first to break the news that. That yeah, more than 50%, 50, 56, 57%, whatever you want to, number you want to latch onto, of building companies, including some very reputable, reputable building companies are somewhat trading insolvent, and this is it. This is what this is. This is and this is the big push for. The big promise for the 1.2 million. We're getting to the end of Albo's tenure, and how many homes are actually built? How many homes are going to be completed by the end of the 2025? It's going to be a lot lower than 2024. So it's farcical, and then moving forward. How many more of those that are going to that are being completed at the moment? How many more are going to end up with major defects like we're seeing? We are going to we that pool or that number of buildings with major defects across the main capital cities is not decreasing, it's increasing, and the strata managers can't keep up with the works that are required. Now with works required in high rise, you need a Class 2 license, and there aren't a lot of building companies that carry the Class 2 license in order to undertake the major works from rectification of your waterproofing membranes to flammable cladding, and the list goes on. So. And this is what they're trying to throw, what they're trying to push the new home buyers into. And of course, you've got the bank concerns that if there aren't enough sales with off the plan, obviously, then they're going to be very reluctant to lend the money to developers unless it's genuine deposits. So this is what I'm saying. Unfortunately, Silent Tigers, I think they are going to be the next bunnies to go through the meat grinder. Like the overseas WeChat chatterers were from 2013, 2014 till recently. Now the next ones that are going to churn and going to be taken through the meat grinder are going to be the Silent Tigers, because they're bringing in a lot of money, and a lot of them believe that by buying off the plan here, they're going to have the same outcomes that they had over in India with a huge increasing property values that they had with buying off the plan and then selling before completion. But we don't have the population to do that. And that was I was sharing back in 2014, 2015. I was sharing and I think look, I haven't looked at my LinkedIn profile for about six years or 7 years, but I recall writing a story. Or I might have put a done a video on basically yeah, selling agents duping their own friends and family from China into buying off the plane properties here in Sydney, because the dream is sold, or the dream back then in the 2013, 2014 was the idea was that you bought a property off the plane, and before it was completed, you sold it off to a local. That was the idea. That was the game. That was the game that was being played. And I know for a fact, because a lot of agents that I trained at that time, Asian agents, they themselves bought two, three properties, and they would tell me why they were doing it, because their belief was that once the buildings were completed, they will then, or before completion, before settlement, they would then on sell them to the local market. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. It backfired in a big way, and obviously then then all sorts of different things happened along the way. And here we are. So now we've got properties that got bought off the plan in 2015, 2016, 17, apartments that you could buy them, in some areas and in some buildings, you can buy them cheaper than what they were bought off the plan back then.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've been talking about this for some time too, Edwin. Particularly North Ryde is a good example, and other areas in the northwest where those apartments were sold off the plan in 2015, 16, 17. And when you look at the values today, they're lower than they were when they were actually sold. Meantime, of course, they've built more stuff down the road and more stuff down the road again. So there's more and more supply of other cheap, poorly developed properties in the same area. And those older properties are just, well, they're not worth what they were paid for initially. The other point, of course, is if you look at the rents that people are able to command in those areas, it hasn't gone up that much. So again, even property investors are actually underwater. And again, what we're seeing is, people looking for a greater fall. And I'm afraid this is the continuing story of property, right? You're always looking for a greater fall. And maybe that's also true of some meme coins and other bits and pieces too. Let me just quickly go through the numbers, Edwin, because, we said things are sort of quiet, but they're beginning to ramp up. So if you look in the Sydney, on the 13th, there were 16,446 properties listed. That's according to the domain definition of the Sydney region. Jump forward a week to the 20th, 17,322. So a bit of a rise. And your rather neat chart shows that things are tracking below where they were in the earlier 2 years, right? So 2025 is, is beginning to tick up, but looks to be a little lower. And I think that's quite fascinating. But early days in terms of listings, I think we're going to have to wait another week or two to really understand, what might be going on.
Yeah, look, what I've also done, Martin, is I've done a snapshot of about, I can't remember, you might need to count them. I think it's 25 or 27 suburbs across Sydney that I've been tracking. Now, I do this when we're buying property for clients in certain areas, certain suburbs, surrounding areas. We track the listings when we start the journey of looking for properties, and then obviously we keep an eye on that. And as we go through the properties, we get, there's more detailed analysis that we do in the background, comparing the properties and and what we've expected. But this is just a brief overview of what I've felt that our followers and our viewers could note. Now, the yellow is the homes, and I've got the suburbs in and area. I've misspelled area in the first column. Is the area, the suburb in the area. So you've got for example, you've got Penrith. Penrith homes in the actual suburb, the actual as defined by, now these numbers I don't pull out a domain. These numbers I pull out of real estate, because real estate gives us a little bit better a snapshot of specific areas, right? So homes in the Penrith area, There's 22 freestanding homes, or what agents put on the portal as homes. Now, homes could be a freestanding home, could be they may have put used in the caption or put it up on the back end as a home, a duplex. From time to time, some agents will refer to a villa as a home as well, as opposed to choosing the right icon in the back of the back end. And when you look across there in the area, in Penrith, that's the area, meaning the region, the surrounding suburbs. There's 100 homes. Now, underneath the homes, I've got in blue is any. That's any property. Any property that's listed in there. That could be a home, could be apartments, could be blocks of land, townhouses. The whole mix, right? And then of course you've got in the specific suburb 307, and then you've got in the in that in the surrounding suburbs, including Penrith itself, you've got 519. So if we looked at, let's say we looked at pick a suburb, look at Liverpool. If we look down to Liverpool, you've got homes, freestanding homes in Liverpool. There's 21 listings as of Saturday. Then you've got in the surrounding suburbs for freestanding homes, 223. Any listings, whether it be homes, apartments, land, you've got 219. And obviously the Liverpool area, there's a lot of apartment blocks and old apartment blocks in the Liverpool area, hence the reason why the number is so high. And then you've got, again, any in the surrounding suburbs, you've got 518. So that's to give our followers and our viewers a snapshot of how the numbers are going to be tracking moving forward. And I'd like to bring this on an ongoing basis. I may not show it on a weekly basis, but I'd like to bring it forward on an ongoing basis so that we can get an idea. You've got, I'll just take you to Parramatta there, Martin. And you've got Parramatta. There's eight homes in Parramatta, as defined by REA. Eight homes for sale, that's freestanding homes. But you've got 289 of any type of property. Why? Because obviously Parramatta there are a lot of apartments in the Parramatta in the 2050 code. And you've also got your homes in the surrounding suburbs of Parramatta, 147, but you've got 800 and 805. So that gives you an indication also the difference between freestanding homes and apartments that are on the market. So hopefully people can make use of this, and they can we can keep track of the numbers to see how the market is tracking in the Sydney region.
For me, one of the most fascinating things there is just how small the number of freestanding homes are in some of those suburbs. So, whilst there might be a lot of stuff on the market in and around the surrounding suburbs, if you're actually looking in, for example, if you're looking in Penrith itself, there's only 22 freestanding homes. That's one of the reasons why, of course, they're doing quite a lot better relative to apartments in many areas. So this will be a really interesting table to monitor over the next few weeks and months. I look forward to that, Edwin. And thanks very much for that extra work. More things for you to do, but that's a part of the story. So should be interesting. Why don't we just quickly look at the Melbourne situation? So on the 13th, 26,510. Jump forward. 26,730 on the 20th. So, small rise, but again, relatively benign. And if you look at Brisbane, 3,403 on the 13th and 3,628 on the 20th. And as we touched on briefly, but slightly more detailed now, if you look at the auction statistics, you can see there that things are still relatively quiet. The 25th will be slightly more busy, but it won't really be until after the holiday season comes to an end that we're going to see dramatic changes, if any. Although, interestingly, Edwin, my spies tell me that, in fact, some householders are preferring not at the moment to consider auctions simply because the auction processes don't necessarily need to work over this period very well.
Oh, you mean we're persuading vendors to really consider and make note rather than listening to to the Furbies that selling agents sell them. That's part of the reason why we do this show, Martin. Part of the
Absolutely.
reason why to educate everybody, buyers, sellers, renters, landlords, and even the Karens in the property management game that don't want to give the tenants more than a 6 month lease. What a bitch. Seriously. What a
Well,
grumpy. And her name was Karen as well.
yes, it's interesting. And look, I've had a chance to have a chat with a few people who were getting a bit whipped up by the agents trying to persuade them to go to the auction route. And I just asked a few questions about, so how much extra marketing will you be paying the agents? What are they going to be doing for you? And what is the benefit of rushing it through to an auction, particularly in the current environment, you know? And when you actually start getting them to ask questions like that to the agent, the feedback that I've had from several people is, oh, the agent suddenly changed tack. Oh, maybe, you know, maybe an auction isn't the way to go. Maybe we should, you know, run a different campaign. So I think there's some really, really important questions to be asked of vendors who may be considering putting their property in the market. And, you know, folks, it's down to you. You are controlling this. Don't let the agent control it. You should be controlling it. And I think it's really important in the current environment to ask those hard questions.
That's right. The current environment, the type of property that you have, and what's happening in your area. Look at the supply and demand. That's your starting point.
Spot on. Well, let's just briefly look at the rentals as we come to the end of the show. So in Sydney on the 13th, 14,822, 14,022 on the 20th, so a bit of a fall. And in Melbourne last week, 13,710, and this week, 13,355. But still early days. There's still quite a lot of people struggling to find anywhere to live with the rentals still rising, and I think things are not going to be easy for many ahead.
Actually had a drop in the rentals from 800 in Sydney and a drop of about 400 in Melbourne. So that's really I interesting from the point of view that in essence in Melbourne the rentals, well, one would have thought that the rentals would continue to increase as they were towards the end of last year. But as you said, it's early days.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, the story, of course, at the moment is, you know, we're in this sort of a little bit of a twilight zone between Christmas and the end of the holidays. What I am seeing is that those who are needing to find somewhere to rent are still being required to pay more because the rentals are actually still in significant demand. And unfortunately, some people who are in the rental sector are now putting half of their income plus to effectively finding somewhere to live. And in fact, tomorrow in my live show, I'm going to go through the latest postcode analysis, and we'll look at specifically at some of the rental issues as well as the mortgage stress issues. I made a show the other day talking specifically about the pressure on households because, you know, the pressure has really been building in recent times. And in fact, that show has hit some records for the number of people viewing. And I think this is a really live issue at the moment. So those can join tomorrow on the live stream, and we'll go through postcode by postcode and look at the details. Well, everyone, as we come to the end of the show, you've got just one other little nugget, a thought.
Well, I've added one more prediction, Martin, to the predictions for 2025. It's nothing that we're going to hear the libs or the labs talk about. But talking about it over with Dusty over the last week, we feel very strong that based on the economic climate that we're in and what we're going to be facing with China's retreating in demand for our raw materials in our agriculture, where well the options really are going to be for either side of the fence, the libs or the labs, for the to bring back the business investment migration pathway, the visas. If you recall, they were known as the $5 million visa. You came into Australia with 5 million, invested 5 million, bought, you buy a property, buy certain share stocks in certain Australian companies, and set up a business. And Bob's your uncle. He's your PR. That's just fairies are telling, sort of chattering amongst the hallways of the immigration offices, and picking up the chatter from the fairies. I thought I better put that in quickly as prediction number 11, which I've already got on my on my Twitter handle.
Yes, I think the story of migration being squeezed is one that sounds nice as a sort of a political spin, but when you actually look at the detail and you look at the different routes that are actually open and are being opened for people to come into Australia, I still expect a significant flood of people with lots of money coming in and effectively putting a bit of a support, not universally across all property in all locations, but in some locations. And I do think a lot of that money will go directly to freestanding homes, which I think will significantly separate the sheep from the goats in terms of freestanding homes versus high rise over the next few months. So watch this space, Emwin.
Definitely, Martin. And from next week, I'll start bringing in the, now that we've got the predictions out of the way, I'll start coming. We'll start sharing our tips for the for yeah the week by week lifestyle of our of the rich and famous Cryptanians and everybody else in between us normal people and all the rich people out there on the wider world of YouTube.
Normal people, yes. Well, we try to be. And look, we know we try to use this show to have a bit of a laugh on the way through, but also make some really serious points about property and those decisions people take. And in the current environment, folks, it's really important. Do your own due diligence, make sure that you understand what you're getting into and don't get swept up with all the hype. Edwin, great to talk with you again. Look forward to next week and have a good week meantime.
You take care, Martin. All the best.
Take care. Bye-bye.